psalmist said, "Come, let us worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness."
Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful February morning. It's good to see the sunshine this morning as well. It is a great day to gather in the Lord's house this morning. As we gather here today, I just want to remind you a few things coming up this afternoon and coming up this week here in the life of our church. Reminder that our adult study this afternoon is at 4 o'clock upstairs in the Truth Seeker classroom. We'll be studying session 2 in our Notorious Bible Study. Anyone is welcome to come. It is it's open up to anyone, and it is we got a great start last week. And if you missed last week, it's okay. Come out for our second session this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Also want to remind our youth, we do have our Super Bowl party tonight, 5 o'clock. It's at our house, my house. Come out tonight at 5 o'clock. Should have a lot of fun watching the football game tonight and just enjoy hanging out and fellowshipping tonight. Many of us, I'm sure we won't be the only one watching the football game tonight. But should be a lot of fun tonight as well. Lots of things coming up this week. Notice the calendar in your bulletin. Senior Adult Breakfast is on Tuesday at 8:30. Circle of Friends is It's Tuesday afternoon at 1:30. Come and join that group that goes and visits out. Many of our homebound and many of those people that are going through difficult times, you can join that group at 1:30 on Tuesday afternoons if you want to go visit some of our shut-ins. Also, men's breakfast is this week. It's on Saturday morning at 8:30 upstairs, that breakfast and Bible study that meets once a month. Also, February newsletter is in the foyer. If you want to know what's coming up this month, if you didn't get a chance to pick that up last week, you can pick it up on the table as you leave this morning. Many of you received it by email this week, but you can pick up a paper copy of that as you leave this morning to know what's coming up in the coming weeks here in the month of February. Now, at this time, I want to recognize Sally Farnham, who has an update from our pastor search team. Just want you to let you know what's coming up, what's going on with the pastor search team right now.
Good morning. I'll play catch up just a little bit, just in case some of you weren't here the last time I updated. Before Christmas, we had narrowed a big field of people that we were looking at all the resumes down to a smaller, more reasonable field. People that we thought we should talk to a little bit more closer. Over the Christmas break and through the beginning of the first year, we kind of took a little bit of a break from the team just due to scheduling issues, busy in our lives. We know these pastors that are candidates were also busy during that time. Since then, we have gotten back together and made a good bit of headway. This past week, we actually had two meetings. And one of the things we really wanted to do before we stepped into this next interview process was we called and asked Seth Hicks from CBF to come back in and answer some of our questions and concerns just to make sure we had everything lined up, make sure we weren't forgetting anything, just to get his feedback. And it was really, really, really helpful to have someone outside of our church to look at what we're doing and to help us in this process. So I really, really appreciate him coming this week. So we have a meeting tomorrow night, and we are down to our short list of candidates. As soon as we finish our meeting tomorrow night, I'm hoping we have all of our ducks in a row, and we will start calling people and start setting up kind of round one, a get-to-know-you interview, and see where we're at with that point. I had someone else this week ask me, do you have a timeline? And I have found that anytime I try to put God's will on a timeline, I am really not good at that. In my personal life, trying to figure out what God is doing and why hasn't he answered, I have not received any emails lately from him. I wish, you know, he could do that easy. But please keep us in our prayers. I really fully believe that God's hand is in all of this, and he knows exactly who we're looking at, and he is preparing that person and preparing us to call our next pastor. So please keep us in your prayers, and we will keep you updated as we move forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Sally. Continue to keep the pastor search team as they meet diligently on a weekly basis, and we will continue to keep them and the candidates in our prayers. As we turn to our scripture passage this morning, our opening scripture passage comes from Acts chapter 20, reading verses 32 through 35. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. As we reflect on those words this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for the privilege to gather in your house this morning. As we reflect on those words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We come this morning to give you this hour of worship. We carve out this time this morning. But we're also reminded it's not just 1 hour in a week that we give you to worship. We give you our lives as a worshipful act of praise, of sacrifice, of giving. Father, may this just be the beginning of a week of worship. Father, may we use this time as a time of praise May we use this time of reflection as we read your word, as we lift up song, as we reflect on the scripture passages, Father, as we listen to the message that's going to be brought, Father, may we use this time as a time of praise, of worship, and just the beginning. We lift this prayer this day, in this hour of worship, in this beginning of a week of worship, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join us singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 425, He Keeps Me Singing. Coming up on Tuesday, February 11th, our senior adults are sponsoring, once again, our senior adult luncheon. This is a quarterly event we have here at First Baptist Elon, and our luncheon is held from 11:30 to 1 p.m. And this quarterly luncheon, we have a special guest coming to be with us, Reverend Paul West. He will be coming and sharing his gift of music with us. Reggie speaks highly of him, and Paul is a singer. He will bless us, right, Reggie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Reggie speaks highly, and he has heard him sing, and many of you probably have heard him sing before as well. I have not been blessed to hear him sing, but I look forward to it. What's that? Norman sung with him, and I think many of y'all have, and may have sung with him as well. He is going to come bless us with music. The concert will actually be down here in the sanctuary, but we'll begin upstairs with a wonderful meal at 11:30. We're going to have lasagna and salad and Texas toast and red velvet cake, cheesecake, another cake, drink, and just a wonderful meal starting at 11:30. But we want you to sign up, and we need you to sign up by this Wednesday. The deadline to sign up is this Wednesday. It's $3 a person, but anybody is welcome to come. That's something we want to encourage. Anybody who wants to come is welcome to come, but we need you to sign up by this Wednesday. So this is the last Sunday to sign up for this luncheon. So please stop by one of the sign-up sheets. There's one in the communication center. They're in the Sunday school classes all around the church. But please sign up and come and be a part of this luncheon that's coming up on February 11th. And look forward to seeing many of you there for this luncheon, and it will be a great time. But come out and join us on February 11th.
He said the magic word, cheesecake. My favorite. Forget the lasagna, that's right. Our offertory hymn this morning is No, Not One. And it doesn't tell you this in the bulletin, but we're going to sing verses 1, 3, 4, and 5. Let's stand, let's worship together.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come to your house without fear. We praise your holy name and thank you for all of the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We lift up all of those on our prayer list and know that you are the great healer.
Help us to come this morning, eager to hear your word. Help prepare our hearts to be still and quiet so that our focus can be solely on you. We bring our offerings this morning and pray that you will use them to further your kingdom. And please help us to go out this week to share your love and your message. We ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Be seated.
Thank you.
says in our bulletin, confession and pastoral prayer, and somebody has left me a confession. A small gift for you from a couple of backsliders, confession, who missed last Sunday to go to the races. A D double dog dare you to wear it in the pulpit. Never turn down a D double dog dare. That's confession, repentance, and sacrifice. Let's pray. Lord, it is good to be together with your people in this house of worship, and we do come confessing our sins before you. You already know them, but you encourage us to help us to name them and understand our behaviors. And so we do this, confessing those things that we know we should not do, and confessing those things that we leave undone. And we are grateful for the gift of forgiveness through your Son, who gave his life on a cross for us. Lord, we thank you for your word to us that gives us encouragement for the living of each day. We thank you for calling us to work together to share a good word about Jesus wherever we go. And so we continue to ask for your blessing upon our church, that we might be a blessing in this community, and that you indeed would work through our search committee with Sally and Leslie and Tammy and Pat and Bill, that you would speak to each one and draw them into a sense of unity. And we pray for those that may come in the days ahead, that interviews will be well received, but that ultimately your will be done as we choose a new pastor for our church. Lord, we anticipate your hand among us, on us, and your Spirit guiding us, that we would continue to be the light that you've called us to be. In the name of Christ, we offer our prayers this day. Amen. I feel like I need to be wearing Cecil's money tie. For those of you who used to remember that, every time we talked about the budget money, Cecil always used to wear a tie with dollar bills on it. Instead, I wore one with snowmen on it, and it's so hot in here, I feel like it's about to melt. If you're cold, come up here. Amen. Although it's not as bad as that women's class this morning, it must have been 150 in there, and they hadn't even started talking yet. I don't know whether they got that or not, but I expect I'll get it later. Let's move on. Hebrews chapter 13. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.
What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God for the people of God. Before going on a business trip to Europe, a wealthy New Yorker drove his Rolls Royce to a Manhattan bank and requested an immediate loan of $5,000. The loan officer was a little bit surprised because he wanted the money right then, and so he asked for collateral. And so the man handed him his keys to his Rolls Royce. And so the officer wrote him out a check for $5,000, and he drove the car into the bank's underground garage for safekeeping. A few weeks later, the man returned to repay the $5,000 principal and the interest to reclaim his keys and his car. And as he was leaving, the bank officer told the man, he said, "Well, while you were gone, I did some research on you, and I found out that you are a multimillionaire. So why in the world did you need to borrow $5,000? And the man said, "I didn't. But where else in Manhattan could I park my Rolls Royce for $50? Apparently, when it comes to money, that guy had lots of it, and he had an attitude towards it. Money monopolizes much of our lives. Whether we have lots or whether we have little, money is important to all of us. Money is certainly important in Scripture. 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus told talk about how to handle money and possessions. In the four Gospels, one out of every 10 verses deals with money and possessions. That's 288 verses if you want to go home and count this afternoon. The Bible has 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, and yet it has over 2,000 verses on money and possessions. Money is important to God. The bottom line is that an unhealthy attitude toward money can wreck all of our life. But healthy attitudes toward money can bless us spiritually. You see, our spiritual lives and our finances are connected. This morning, we're going to focus on four little attitudes that help shape a Christian approach to money and possessions, and hopefully we'll decide that we want to follow those in our own daily living. Healthy attitude number one is responsibility. Responsibility. This means that we will take care of ourselves and we will take care of those to whom God has entrusted us. We will work hard. We will not make excuses and not expect other people to do for us what we can do for ourselves. Take responsibility. There is a standard baseline. It includes having adequate food, shelter, and clothing. There's been much research done on how much money is necessary for a person to be happy. The results are surprisingly consistent in different financial brackets, in different countries, and in different cultures. If people are poor and happy, they will be happy if their money increases. If people are poor and unhappy, they will be unhappy even if their financial situation increases. It usually takes about 6 months to adapt to a significant increase or decrease in money and in lifestyle. After 6 months, most people are as happy or as unhappy as they were before. And so, before you go out and play the lottery, just remember, an extra $1 million will not make you happy if you're unhappy now. Statistics have proved that about those big giant winners. They end up miserable because they were miserable before. There's one exception to this formula, and that is those who lack the basics of food, shelter, and clothing. If you are hungry, homeless, and cold, it's hard to be happy. In the first century city of Ephesus, there were Christians who didn't want to work anymore, and so they didn't provide for their families. They expected other hard-working Christians to supply their needs. But the Apostle Paul would have none of that, and so he wrote, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." It's 1 Timothy 5:8. For some Christians, it's not easy. I am amazed at some single parents who work two jobs and raise children, show up for work, whether they're sick or not, whether the weather's bad. They have a healthy attitude toward responsibility. It bothers me when Christians lose their jobs and they have to take employment for which they are overqualified and underpaid. But good for them, they do it anyway because they have a healthy respect toward responsibility. Everything that the Bible teaches about responsibility cannot be covered in 5 minutes this morning. But there are two corollary concepts that go along. The first is, usually, if we are responsible with little, God gives us what? More. Responsibility brings rewards. A second thing is, when people cannot provide for themselves because of abject poverty, economic conditions, physical disabilities, or mental illness, others need to help out. That's biblical. Take responsibility. Healthy attitude number two is contentment. Contentment is choosing to be happy with what we have. The opposite, of course, is discontentment when we choose to be unhappy with what we have and all we do is strive to get more and more and more. Our text this morning says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have." In other words, we should work hard to avoid falling in love with money. It's a real and common danger for people. It is true that money itself is not evil. Money can be used for great good. But money can also be used for great evil. For every verse in Scripture that tells about the benefits of wealth, there are 10 others that give warnings to us about the dangers of wealth. The test as to whether we love money or not is, be content with what you have. My mama always drilled it in my head. Live within your means. Lo and behold, she didn't make that up. President Calvin Coolidge said that. There's no dignity quite so impressive and no independence quite so important as living within your means. Contentment can be a difficult choice in our society. Do you know that the typical American 5-year-old has over 250 toys? 5 years old. The child's been alive 260 weeks and has a toy for every week they've been alive. Grandparents, are you guilty? Sure you are. We all are. 1/3 of American high school students have credit cards, and half of them, they have them in their own name. That's bad. 80 to 90% of college students have their own credit cards, and the typical college student credit debt is over $4,000. And every year, there is a growing percentage of adults under 25 who declare bankruptcy, under 25 years of age. I'm not making this up. In a commencement address at Emerson College in Boston in the year 2000, a young fellow named Ted Turner, some of you may have heard of him, he said this: "It's all relative. I sit down and say, I've only got $10 billion, and Bill Gates has got $100 billion. I feel like a complete failure." And then he says, "So billions won't make you happy if you're worried about someone who's got more than you. Don't let yourself get caught in the trap of measuring your success by how much material success you have." Warren Buffett made a statement in an interview at Christianity Today where he said, "If you were a jerk before, you'll be a bigger jerk with $1 billion. Boy, is he right. Contentment is a choice. Choose to be grateful for what you have. Choose to enjoy what God has blessed you with. Choose not to constantly compare yourself with others who may have more than you. What a difference a healthy attitude can make in your life. If we choose to be content with what we already have, we'll be happier. We'll have a healthy Christian attitude towards money, and we will be grateful when God gives us more. Contentment. Healthy attitude number 3 is trust. Trust shows up in all healthy Christian attitudes because trust is at the epicenter of Christianity. Trust is the ultimate confidence in God's provision and care for us. Back to our scripture for this morning. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Never. God is more trustworthy than any bank, any business, any preferred stock, any Social Security, Medicare, 401k, family trust, or even the currency and government of the United States of America. God is dependable. God will not abandon us. God will always be there for us. Trust goes with responsibility and contentment. You see, trust is not irresponsibility, like I'm going to quit my job, take all my savings out, and blow it and go into debt. No, it is trusting God to take care of anything that may go wrong. Trust is counting on God to help us show up for a difficult job or a job we don't like. It's making do with less than the best. It's not worrying about everything that might someday possibly go wrong. Trust. A healthy attitude toward money counts on God to be there for us when the future arrives. Not worrying about tomorrow and being responsible and content with today. When I was a young boy, a couple weeks ago, I trusted my parents. I don't ever remember thinking or worrying about that I would come home and find them gone, or the house taken away, or no food on the table. Trust in my parents' provision and care was a central pillar to a happy childhood. The central pillar to a Christian life is to not love money, to be content with what we have, and to trust the God who said, "Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you." Healthy attitude number four is blessing. Blessing goes two ways: getting from God and giving to somebody else. Getting from God and giving to somebody else. Acts 20:35, our first scripture, records the words of Jesus: "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Healthy attitude Christians want to give away money and possessions. Healthy attitude Christians do give away money and possessions. As Christians, we believe that God has blessed us. We want to be like God. Therefore, we give and bless others. America has millions of Christians with healthy attitudes towards money, and that's probably why we lead the world in giving to charities and in volunteering. Volunteering and giving go together. 90% of people who volunteer also give to charity. These are people who bless others, not only with their time, but also with their cash. And generosity often comes from those without wealth. It's surprising. I was reading an article, I guess it's been a couple years ago now, but it still applies today. Mississippi ranks in the bottom few states in income, but it's in the top five in giving to charities. In the United States, people with income under $35,000 a year gave 5.2% of their income to charity. People with incomes between $35,000 and $60,000 gave 3.3% of their income. People with incomes over $100,000 gave 1.6% of their income. One factor that predicts generosity more than any other is faith. It's not just in giving money to religious causes, giving money to churches. 2/3 of all non-religious charitable giving in the U.S. comes from Christians. Of course it does. Christians trust God. When exercising a healthy attitude toward blessing, just don't think of the church offering plate. Of course, you always think of that, so don't hear that too wrong. But don't just think about that. put money in the Salvation Army at Kettles during Christmas time. Tip generously when you go out to eat. You know, those waitresses don't make but about $2 an hour. And there's some ornery people that come in there to eat. Support research for cancer, for heart disease, Alzheimer's, ALS, you name it. Give to the poor. Be a generous employer who pays a fair wage. And even if you are poor, even if you are poor, put a dollar or a dime in the plate when it's passed in church. There is a Christian rock band, it's been around for 15, 20 years or more, with a funny name. It's called Sixpence None the Richer. Anybody ever heard of that? David has. Sure you have. You heard them sing? Sure you have. Sixpence None the Richer. Strange name. It comes from a story by C.S. Lewis. And it's a story about a father who gave his son sixpence to go buy the father a present. And when the father received the present, he was none the richer because he had originally given the sixpence to his son. It's an analogy about God. God gives us the gifts that we return to him to glorify him. God is none the richer when we give it to him because it's his to begin with. But he expects us to do it. Better than that, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then you are a Christian. And as a Christian, you and I should have a healthy attitude toward money and possessions. We need to take responsibility. We need to be content with what we have. We need to trust God for what we don't have. And we need to bless others with those things that God has blessed us with. These are the marks of a healthy Christian. If you're not yet a believer in Jesus, I encourage you to come to him today. Admit that you are a sinner and that Jesus is the one who can save you from your sins and give you eternal life. Do it today. If you've not been giving as you should as a Christian, I encourage you to think about these things, pray about these things, and see if you can't do something about it. God will help you along the way. If you're looking for a new church home, this is it. Come join First Baptist today. Let's sing and praise God and thank him for the blessings that he has given to us and in turn that we will share with others who need his blessing.